This is World Update with Dan Damon. As the world's richest game, soccer, tries to make sure national teams survive by restricting the transfer of foreign players, we'll explore the legalities and the practicalities. Iraq should be one of the richest countries in the world. A conference in Sweden is trying to help it get there, but back in Baghdad, poverty is still the day-to-day reality for most people. Those stories after the latest world news headlines.
BBC News with Ian Purdon. Most football associations from around the world have backed a controversial plan by the sports governing body FIFA to limit the number of foreign players in club sides. FIFA's president Sepp Blatter said clubs should include at least 6 homegrown players in a team. But the proposal is opposed by rich European clubs who often field sides containing mainly foreign players. In Europe, a week of protests over the rising cost of fuel has reached Spain, where thousands of fishermen are staging stoppages and demonstrations. The action is expected to bring the industry to a halt. British researchers say germs may play a role in cot death, the sudden and unexpected death of babies in their sleep. One theory put forward by the researchers is that common bacteria, while not causing infections, may produce toxins which trigger the cot deaths. As the World Bank begins a new billion-dollar programme to help poor countries struggling with soaring food and fuel prices, Latin American leaders are gathering to discuss the effect of the price increases in their region. 26 Latin American and Caribbean countries are aiming to draw up a united policy. A Thai cabinet minister accused of insulting the king has announced that he'll resign in an attempt to calm political tensions. Police have said the minister, Jakrapob Penker, will be charged next week with the crime, although he denies causing offence. An inquiry has begun in Australia into the sinking of a battleship during the Second World War, in which more than 600 sailors died, the country's greatest maritime loss of life. The HMAS Sydney was sunk by a German merchant ship off Western Australia, but the wreckage was only recently discovered. The head of the American CIA, Michael Hayden, has said that Al-Qaeda is essentially defeated in Iraq and Saudi Arabia and on the defensive elsewhere. His remarks, which correspondents describe as strikingly upbeat, came in an interview with the Washington Post newspaper. BBC News.
Hello, this is World Update from the BBC World Service. I'm Dan Damon, presenting the programme from New York today. I'm here because later Tony Blair will launch what some called a visionary project, but others think is just an exercise in self-aggrandisement. His faith foundation, the Tony Blair Faith Foundation. I'll be asking him what he hopes to achieve with that. That'll be later here on the BBC World Service and also on Reporting Religion over the weekend. First, though, let's speak about the problems in Iraq. How could you resist a unique opportunity to engage with one of the most resource-rich countries in the world? Well, that is Iraq. It's the sales pitch provided by the Iraqi government at an international conference in Sweden that's continuing today. The message from the Iraqi government is clear, then. We don't need your money. We do need your expertise. And we do need partners to work with us in re-establishing Iraq as a fully functioning state. As the diplomats and leaders consider the big picture, though, what's life like day by day for Iraqis? What about access to water, to electricity? Lotfi Habib is a resident of Baghdad.
As for the electricity, it is not good in Baghdad. We have, for example, about 8 hours of electricity from the national grid per day. We used to have another 8 hours of electricity from a generator in the street. And many Iraqis have generators of their own to use them in case neither the national grid nor the generator of the street are working. As for the water, basically water pressure is very low and almost every house has a water pump connected to the main pipeline as to lift the water to a tank. But this problem existed even before 2003. There is a lot of work needs to be done in this respect. The schools are running as usual, but the schools themselves are not good. They need to be rebuilt. The windows are, the glasses are broken, and the toilets are not that good. The sewage water system is not good too. But, you know, the Iraqis used to live in such circumstances.
Well, that's Lotfi Habib, who lives in Baghdad. And yet, the richest country in the region, as it should be able to provide those basic needs. Well, David Shearer is the UN Deputy Special Representative for Iraq, responsible for reconstruction. He's in Baghdad. Thanks for being with us on World Update. What's the biggest problem in reconstructing Iraq? Is it money?
No, it's not money. I mean, as your report just said, Iraq has plenty of money. They have a $48 billion budget this year, and that was based on oil prices being at around about $70, $75 a barrel. Now that they've almost double that, Iraq has a lot of money. The big difficulty is actually spending that money, and it's a factor of a number of things. One is obviously the insecurity and the problems that Iraq faces right now, but the other is transforming or changing Iraq from what was essentially a command economy, very, very centrally run, to an economy where the provinces and the regions actually are able to determine their own priorities and budget priorities.